possible. If you'll only believe, my Lord, if only believe, yes, only believe, all things are possible. If you'll only believe, I met God one morning. If you'll only believe, I believe, yeah, I believe, all things are possible.
cries out, to you belongs the glory. Through every loss or victory, my soul will rise to only bring you glory. And with every breath that's in my lungs, my heart cries out, to you belongs the glory. Through every loss or victory,
good morning, everyone. Good to see you. He is risen. Yes, he is risen indeed. He is risen indeed. Welcome. We praise God. Isn't it awesome, right? Friday was a dark and cloudy and gloomy day, and today we wake up on Sunday, the third day, to celebrate the risen Savior. And we have some sunshine and some warmth, and so just another beautiful reminder, right, of God's goodness. So we thank him when he does things like that for us. And so welcome to Trinity Bible Church. Thanks for joining us on our Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday. Thanks for being with us. We say welcome to all of our friends that are joining us online. Remember, that's a great tool to use if you're away or if you're homesick. You can tune in on Sundays and just go to our website, trinityallenwood.com, and you can just click Watch Live and you can join in with us. Or if you miss it, they're all archived there, so you can always go back and check out our services. But we say thank you for being with us, and we say thank you to Jesus for being willing. He went willingly to the cross, and he fulfilled that promise of rising on the third day. Amen? And so we get to worship and praise him together. So yes, indeed, he is risen. Have you heard that good news? That the one whom the disciples thought was dead has risen from the grave. And so therefore we say hallelujah. This is our reading, Matthew 28, 1 through 9. Now after the Sabbath, toward the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning and his clothing white as snow. And for fear of him, the guards even trembled and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead. And behold, he is going before you to Galilee, and there you will see him. See, I have told you." So they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and with great joy, and ran to tell his disciples. And behold, Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came up and took hold of his feet, and they worshiped him. Church, that's what we're going to do this morning. We are going to grab hold of our Savior Jesus and worship him. We're going to worship him through song. We're going to worship him through the reading and hearing of his word, and through our time of prayer, and even through our time of fellowship, God gets the glory. Let us pray, and then we'll stand and sing. We'll pray together. Oh, Father, our great and glorious God, you loved this world by giving your only Son, that through faith we may be reconciled to you and also called your children. Lord, help us to live in the goodness and the grace of the gospel, in the provision and in the power of the resurrection, and in the freedom of new life in Jesus Christ. Father God, this morning we rejoice together in the empty cross and the empty tomb. And like the disciples on the dawn of the third day, we worship you with great joy in our hearts. For he has risen, just as he said. Amen. Church, let's stand together and worship Christ. who has risen today. The cross could not hold him, and the grave could not keep him. Amen. Take a moment to say good morning to somebody next to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, if we could make our way back to our seats. Praise the Lord. Good to see you again. If we can make our way back to our seats, and we will continue to give God the glory. We have a special opportunity today. Praise the Lord. We have a special opportunity today to hear from our kids, our Trinity kids, and the next generation. And so we praise God for them. And so let's give them our full attention, shall we? Praise the Lord.
Ready? If love was a color that we could all see, what is the color that God's love would be? If love was a color that we could all see, what is the color that God's love would be? If love was a color that we could all see, what is the color that God's love would be? If love was a color that we could all see, what is the color that God's love would be?
Maybe the brown.
If love was a color that we could all see, what is the color that God's love would be? If love was a color that we could all see, what is the color that God's love would be?
Maybe the red of blood flowing down from a head pierced by thorns woven into a crown. If love was a color that we could all see, each of the colors show what it would be.
I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you, oh my soul, rejoice, take joy, my King. In what you hear, may it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear. I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship
rejoice, joy my King. Inhale what you hear. Let it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear.
Ah. I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice.
Lifted it on high, till I love to see your praises. I'm so glad you're alive. I'm so glad you're in this place. You came back, but you were disturbed. The world on the earth you discuss. I can't do it. I'm the earth, to the fire,
to the sky. Lord, I lift your name on high.
To the source, to the sky, to I lift your name on high.
Lord, I lift your name on high.
Do
I love to sing your praises. I'm so glad you're in my life.
I'm so glad you're in my life. I'm so glad you came to save us. You're the glad you were. You said the word. I'm the earth to the cross. I get the word. I'm the dawn to the ground. I'm the earth to the sky. Do what let the day on high. To shed the world on the earth to the cross. Shed the world on the earth to the cross. On the earth to the sky. Do what let the day on high.
stand and join us for a hymn. Please stand and join us for a hymn.
Be seated. Praise the Lord. We can thank them once again. We thank the kids and the teachers. Praise the Lord. Just giving us just another way to be able to worship Him. Thank you so much. We're good. Yeah. No. We're good. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord. You know, there's many ways that we love to worship the Lord together here at Trinity, and Our Trinity Kids ministry is so vital, and a few times throughout the year, we have that blessing to be able to hear from them, and you know, they work hard on putting this together and incorporating scripture and the music, and it's wonderful. And so after our service today, when you see one of the kids, just let them know how much you were blessed and how much you appreciated that. And I'm sure there's many of you that remember back in the day when you were that age, remember, and you were running around church, and then you were up on stage and being able to bless the congregation. And so we thank God for them. Just wanted to give you just what we call a few words of church life. This is a way to just kind of get caught up on what's going on in the life of Trinity. And, you know, we have core values here at Trinity Bible Church, and that's learn, grow, and serve. That's how we pursue discipleship, by learning the truth and then growing in faith and then serving. And we serve each other, and then we serve the world around us. And that's how we pursue being disciples of Jesus Christ. And so these words are important to us. And if you'd like to learn more, and maybe you're visiting with us and just joining us for the first time today, again, we say welcome. And you can check out all there is to know about Trinity on our website, trinityallenwood.com. We have all the information there, and what we do and what we love to do, how we do it, and how we gather. And we have a great missions program as well, and we like to do that third part of our core values and serve and get outside of the four walls. We have missionaries globally and locally. We have many ways to be able to study the Word together and grow in our faith in Him. And so you can check out all that information on our website. There is a podcast that myself and two other local pastors, we record every Thursday. And it's wonderful. You can find it any place that you listen to and download your podcast. It's called So What, the podcast, and there's the logo there. So when you search for it, you can find it. And it's three local pastors taking a scripture for the week and just digging a bit deeper and sharing from our own lives, our experiences around that theme from the scripture. And then most importantly, talking about how we can live it out and putting our faith into action. Because we are told that we are to be more than just hearers of the word, but doers of the word as well, right? And so you can find that podcast anywhere that you normally listen to them. That's called So What, the podcast. Our discipleship pathway is also something very critical to the life here of Trinity. And you can find all the information on this on our website. It is our main resource for how we can be followers of Jesus Christ together. So we have print resources and digital resources that go along with it. There is a map that's included on the website, and on your way out later at our Connection Center, you'll see pamphlets or brochures that describe it. I would encourage you to take one of those to learn more about our discipleship pathway, about how we can learn and grow and serve together. This coming Saturday is the first Saturday of April, believe it or not. So it is springtime, and there is a men's breakfast. And so, yes, we praise the Lord. We can praise the Lord for that too, right? Yes. As you can see up there, we got some eggs and bacon and pancakes. And so there it is. And so next Saturday morning at 8:30 right here. So all men are welcome, of course, and it's free. So invite your friends, maybe your neighbors, some coworkers you've been sharing Jesus with, and come on out next Saturday at 8:30. We're going to have a time of a testimony. One of the men's going to be sharing their testimony of faith, and we'll have a brief devotional and a great time of food and fellowship. So guys, make sure you remember that. And of course, next weekend, being the first weekend of April, we have communion on the first Sunday of the month here at Trinity, and so it's our communion service, followed by our first barbecue lunch of the season. So we praise the Lord. You know, I love the things that we praise God for. You know, I mean, you know, we have a Baptistic tradition, and so we love food. So we praise God for the men's breakfast and for the barbecue. Hallelujah. So we get together on the first Sunday of every month here at Trinity, and we stay afterwards and we eat a meal together. And during the winter months, it's a potluck, and we have extended fellowship, but then when the warmer weather comes, we barbecue, and so we provide the hot dogs and the hamburgers, and we just ask you would bring a side, and we have a great time. So that is next Sunday, so make sure that you are here for that. Again, another a great opportunity to invite friends to come for that. I mentioned we learn, grow, and serve, and one of the things we do with our missions ministry is we like to serve locally, and so for this month, we try to do something at least once a month, create an opportunity. So for this month, it is on Sunday, April 21st. All the information's on our website. If you go to the events page, you'll see it. But at 2 o'clock in Lakewood, it's called the Livingston House, and it's a great opportunity, a place we haven't been before, but we will worship the Lord with some people there and also give away our blessing bags, which you'll see on the way out at our missions table. You can take one of those with you to give to somebody in need, but we will be doing that. So you can sign up. I think there's 12 spots available, and you can go to the website and sign up, register for that to be a part of our outreach. So that is on the 21st. And again, many ways to get involved here, to learn, to grow, and to serve. Before we stand again and enter into a time of worship through song, I'd like to read to you from 1 Peter 3. Of course, this is Resurrection Sunday, and so we are all about the risen Savior and being reminded of the importance and the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 15 that without the resurrection, our faith is in vain. He says the preaching would be in vain. You see, the Christian faith is based on the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It is the cornerstone of our faith. Consider that when you share Jesus with someone, we are talking about Jesus, who was fully God and fully man, who said that he would die and be buried and come back to life, and it's exactly what he did, the cornerstone of our faith. So listen to how the Apostle Peter describes it, and then we will sing and praise God together. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. For that we can say amen. Let's stand once again, church, and worship our God. Father, we thank you again for opportunities to sing praises to you. May the words that we are about to sing ring true in our hearts, and may the music continue to draw us close to you, to move our emotions and our spirit. Father, that you would get all the glory in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's worship him. Let's worship him together, church. Your name is victory.
ashes of defeat, the resurrected King is resurrecting me. In your name I come alive to declare your victory. The resurrected King is resurrecting me. By your Spirit I will rise from the ashes of defeat. The resurrected King is resurrecting me. In your name I come alive to declare your victory.
Stop.
It is good to worship him, the risen Savior, in this place today. Amen? You may be seated. Praise God for a good, powerful worship and opportunity to just say thank you to him and being grateful. You know, the resurrection of Jesus Christ is the turning point in all of human history. The immense power of God on full display. On full display for all the world to see, but who saw it first? It was the creator of life defeating death. Jesus rose to life. The scripture says, you heard it read earlier, the earth shook. This massive stone that had sealed the tomb was rolled away, and an angel from heaven appeared. But who is there to see it? Our scriptures reminded us earlier that there were two women that went. What would it have been like for those women on that Sunday morning? I mean, we're singing these songs and hearing the accounts from the Holy Scriptures, and can we just for a moment put ourselves in their shoes? I mean, they were devoted to Jesus. They went to anoint his body. I mean, they were, of course, expecting the body of Jesus, and they went to anoint him. They loved him, but they thought he was dead. Can you imagine what it was like for those women that morning? I mean, we've been singing with such, you know, praise, and it's so celebratory in here, as it should be, but think about the beginning of that morning. The sun had risen, and they got up and gathered their things, and they walked to the tomb where they expected to find his body. They were confused. They were full of sorrow. They were disheartened. They were disillusioned. Their Lord was dead, but asking themselves this question, how could that be? All they knew to do was to anoint his body to prepare for burial, for he was dead. But see, as they approached the tomb, being very somber and in mourning, there was one thing they had not yet considered. They hadn't considered the stone that was in front of the tomb. There was this great, massive obstacle between them and Jesus. Perhaps during this time of the year, we don't give enough attention to the stone. Yes, we know that stone was rolled away. We were singing about it, but yet they approached the tomb with their anointing oils and spices, and they had not considered how they would get to the body. It was a seemingly insurmountable obstacle. Can you imagine them just walking somberly with their heads down and mourning, and then they look up and said, oh yeah, there's a great stone there in the way. And Mark 16, his account of Jesus' resurrection, it says this: when the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, and Salome brought spices. They bought spices so that they might come and anoint him. So Saturday evening, they went out after the end of the Sabbath, and they bought these spices to anoint his body for burial. They were saying to one another, who will, well, it says very early on the next day, they came to the tomb when the sun had risen. Then they were saying to each other, who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance of the tomb? But just then, looking up, they saw that the stone had already been rolled away, although it was extremely large. Who will roll the stone away for us? You see, they were there for a purpose, but they had not yet considered the obstacle standing in their way between them and their beloved Jesus. But isn't that just representative of the age-old question, how do we find God? There seems to be something standing in our way. How are we to find this great God of the universe? How are we to be reconciled and reconnected to our God who seems like he's way out there? How do we gain access to him? The women at the tomb had the same question, for they were staring at what seemed like an insurmountable obstacle. But all the accounts in the Gospels say the stone was already rolled away when they got there. See, they didn't have to move it. It was done for them. Hallelujah. In the Matthew 28 account, it says an angel of the Lord rolled it away from the entrance, giving the women access. Let's just for a brief moment consider that stone that was rolled away. Let's consider the stone that had blocked the Lord's tomb, but was now miraculously rolled away. This rock, we know from history and from current times in the land of Israel, this rock would have been enormous, probably weighing about 2 tons. The stone was rolled into place, the scriptures say, by Joseph of Arimathea. It was, after all, his tomb, hewn out of rock, it says. And because of his love and devotion for his Messiah, his Savior, he gave his tomb, his grave, to Jesus. Of course, he would have had help. They would have put it into what most likely was a groove or divot. So if you can imagine a huge, probably round-ish stone weighing about 2 tons, they would have probably gotten some wood and levers and rolled it slowly into a divot in front of the opening so that it could not be moved. See, once you get a 2-ton stone into this divot, it's almost impossible to move out by any one person. No matter what shape it actually was, it was already moved. It had completely blocked the entrance. There would be no way to squeeze in. In fact, the Romans put a seal, the seal of Herod, the king, over it so that they knew if somebody tried to tamper with it. And if anyone tried to break in, they would have been put to death. See, only a person with the right authority could break that seal. Only by the king's order could that tomb be opened. Was not Jesus the higher authority? Did he not have the great authority to remove the stone from the opening of the tomb? So it had already been rolled away for them. See, the women were cut off from their Lord, but a way was provided for them. People have tried throughout history many different ways to find God, to gain access to their Creator. Philosophy, good works. Way back in Genesis, there were people that built a tower to try to get closer to God. By worshiping and understanding nature, men throughout time have tried to find ways to understand, to get to God. But yet God himself was the only one with the authority and the power to remove that stone. Church, let's not forget that. There is this amazing story from Genesis, way back the first book of the Bible in the Old Testament, that illustrates this. Genesis 29, 1-3, there's this story of Jacob who marries Leah and Rachel. And here's what it says. It says in Genesis 29, "So then Jacob, he went on his journey, and he came to the land of the people of the east." So Jacob is going on a journey, comes to this particular place, and as he looked, he saw a well in the field. Now, of course, it was a dry, arid land. They would have wanted some water. He sees a well, and behold, 3 flocks of sheep were lying beside the well. For out of that well, the flocks were watered. The stone on the well's mouth was large. And when all the flocks were gathered there, the shepherds would roll the stone from the mouth of the well and give water to the sheep. Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd, our shepherd, was, as they thought, in the tomb. There seemed to be no way to gain access to him. See, in this story, the stone kept the water from the sheep, but the shepherds came and had to roll it away for them so the sheep could have access to water that would give them life. The sheep didn't have to try to nudge it or move it themselves. They didn't have to work to get the water in the well. The shepherd did it for them. God himself, Jesus, our shepherd, rolled away the stone. The Matthew 28 account says God used an angel to do it. It says the angel sat on the stone, on top of the stone, after it was moved, as if to say, yes, somebody come and try to roll it back. It was the power of God on full display. An angel, remember this, an angel promised his birth. Angels proclaimed the moment of his birth. Angels attended to Jesus after his temptations. Remember that in the desert. But you know what, church? There were no angels present at the cross. He was despised and rejected by his own. He was abandoned by the Father, for he had become sin for us. The one who knew no sin became sin for us. He had been separated from the Father. But now, because of the resurrection, there was great victory, and now an angel appears again, as they had time and again in Jesus' life, and an angel sits on the stone like an exclamation point to Jesus' final words, "It is finished." The stone was rolled away, and the angel sits on the stone like an exclamation point, like when you send that all-important text, how many exclamation points are you going to put on there? I mean, if you put just one, what is that saying? Maybe it's not enough. Two, three, how many is enough? How many do we put there? Jesus put an exclamation point on his final words, "It is finished," by having the angel sit on the stone. Remember when Jesus rode into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, last Sunday, we celebrate and remember Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem, right? He had been there before, but he rode into Jerusalem this last time during his first advent, his life and ministry on earth. He rides into Jerusalem. But do you remember what the crowds were shouting? They were shouting, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." But then some of the Pharisees in the crowd, they said to Jesus, "Jesus, you need to rebuke your disciples. You need to tell them to keep it down." And what did Jesus say? "I tell you, if these people remain silent, the very stones would cry out." But in the story of the resurrection, this rock, this great 2-ton stone that was rolled away, that stone cries out the victory of Jesus over death. The disciples heard its cry. You know, most of the disciples, the closest followers of Jesus, died a martyr's death. Why? Because they were convinced that Christ was the Messiah. They were convinced by the resurrection. Up until then, 3.5 years, Jesus had been teaching them, and he started to tell them months and months earlier about how he needed to go to the cross and then he would come back to life. Remember when they were looking at the temple? And he said, "If you destroy this temple in 3 days, it will rise again." And he meant himself. He was telling them, but they still didn't get it when they saw him on the cross and his body was taken down by Joseph of Arimathea. They were dejected. Remember the two men on the road to Emmaus? It was the same day after the resurrection. They hadn't heard the news yet, and they were just walking slowly, just so depressed and discouraged. And Jesus comes along in that story and says, "Hey, what's going on? Why the sad faces?" See, they didn't know the victory. But the stone, the great stone that was rolled away, cried victory. And the disciples knew it. It was the cornerstone of their faith. So much so, if you read the book of Acts, you'll see all of the great sermons by Stephen and by Peter, right? They are proclaiming the resurrection. Their stories end, their sermons end with, "Jesus is alive." It became the focus of their witness. So, finally, the resurrection is a great witness for us. It has a great significance for us. Why? Because the stone was rolled away for the women at the tomb and for us today. There was this great obstacle. That stone represents sin. The sin that we are born into and born with. We are sinners by nature and by choice, the scriptures teach us. And so therefore, there is an obstacle that we cannot overcome between us and our God. It is what separates us from God. It is sin itself. But why do we praise God so much today, on Easter Sunday, on the Resurrection Sunday? It is because the stone was already rolled away. We do not have to do it ourselves. In fact, we cannot do it ourselves. When we try to recover, to reconcile ourselves to God, to try to get past that sin, maybe by good works, by doing things we think are right, By following a God who we think is the God of the Bible, it's as if you came up to that 2-ton stone and tried to remove it yourself and say, okay, now me and God are good. Me and Jesus, right? The stone needs to be rolled away for us, and it was. That is the power of resurrection. That is our hope. So the women and then the disciples, they could look in and see Jesus. They could see as if it was empty, and it was. The burial linens were lying there, no body. To the point, if we know in the Gospels, it says that they, even the Roman soldiers and the Roman leaders, created fake news. They created a lie. And they said, you know what, if anybody asks, tell them that the disciples broke in and stole the body. It wasn't our fault. And then therefore we'll spread that lie, and nobody will believe that Jesus actually did what he said. See, it's an amazing account because the Roman leadership remembered. They said, you know, this guy Jesus that we just crucified, he's buried in this tomb of Joseph of Arimathea. And, you know, he said that he was going to come back to life, so we should probably just be safe and let's put a seal on the tomb and let's put a couple of guards there just to protect it. And yet the stone was rolled away. Now we can look in. It is our great hope. But see, isn't the problem that sometimes all we see is the stone? We look at the empty tomb and we can have great hope. We have hope because God is all powerful. Hope because death is not the end, and hope because there is now light in the dark places. See, light flooded the dark tomb once the angel moved the stone on God's behalf. The dark tomb was flooded with light to reveal that death could not keep him and the grave could not hold him. So for us this morning, know that our sin, our guilt, our shame, our fear, it's all as real as that stone, but the stone has been rolled away. Our sins have been removed from us as far as the east is from the west. The dark place has been overcome by the light of life. The resurrection means Jesus defeated death that we may have life. And that now, since he died for us, we can live for him, because darkness has turned to light. Fear has turned to hope. Whatever stone or stones in your life, those obstacles that you believe are set between you and God, please know that this God of all power who defeated death, the creator of life, is able to remove any obstacle from you. That stone being sin, in fact, has already been removed in Jesus Christ. And now the offer is simply given to you. If you are here with us this morning and you have not yet believed in Jesus and him alone for the salvation of your soul, because knowing that you are a sinner in need of a Savior, realize that Jesus did all that was necessary to reconcile you to God. And you know there's only one condition the Bible gives us for salvation, and that is to believe. To believe that Jesus is who he says he is, the Son of God, Messiah, God himself, and that he did what he said he was coming to do. That he died on the cross, he was buried, and that he came back to life, what we celebrate today. If you believe that, and you believe that he did it for you, and he's the only one that could do it for you, the Bible says you are saved. That at that moment you are promised eternal life. And then the choice put before you, a great and amazing choice, is do you want to follow him? Let me tell you, that's the hard work. That's the hard work. See, salvation was hard for Jesus. He gave everything. It's easy for us because we are to believe. One condition. But what's the hard part? The difficult part, the work, where the work comes in, is following him, being his disciple. When Jesus said, okay, you want to be my disciples? Here's what you do. You deny yourself, you take up your cross, and you follow me. Where was Jesus going? To death. Every day, putting to death that sin nature, realizing if you have believed in Jesus for salvation, you are new. You are new in him. A new heart, a new spirit. And now the penalty of sin has been paid. See, Jesus paid a debt he did not owe, because we owed a debt we could not pay. He did that for us. And now whatever it is that you think is standing between you and God, know that God has the power to remove it. And when it comes to sin itself, he already has. He offers as a free gift salvation in his son Jesus. There's a reason that Jesus said from the cross in his dying breath, it is finished. If we try to add anything to that pure gospel of grace, we are diminishing the power of the cross and the power of his words, it is finished. But now as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, know the great hope is that we can see beyond the storms of life to the peace and hope that he offers, because he has already overcome the dark tomb with his perfect life and his perfect light. We can now proclaim the message of hope. Why? We are to be children of light in a world full of so much darkness. We can tell the true and amazing story of the resurrection as the disciples did. We can remember it's the cornerstone of our faith, and even during times of difficulty and doubt, we can remember to peer into the tomb, for the stone has been rolled away, and we can gaze in wonder at the Lord Jesus himself, for he is not dead. He has risen just as he said he would, and for that, we can say hallelujah. Would you please stand with us as we close our time together in song? For the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords is to be praised. For again, we peer into the tomb and know that it is empty. For the cross could not hold him, and the grave could not keep him. Let's sing together. Thank you. Praise the Lord. Father, thank you for a glorious day, a day where we can remember and celebrate that we do not serve a Savior who is still dead on the cross or in the tomb, but we serve a risen Savior who is in us, living in us today. Father, take us from this place now with that great joy and hope, and maybe share it with the world around us. God, we know this world is desperate for hope, and may we be able to share that with them today and this week, Lord. So God, bless us as we go forth. Holy Spirit, prepare the way, and may through it all we give praise and honor to Jesus Christ, our Lord and risen Savior. In his name we pray, amen. Amen. Thanks for joining us together this morning, church. Thank you. Let's clap. One, two, three.